I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to use the upcoming annual Indiana Conference for Women as a springboard to talk about the opportunities before and the challenges confronting Hoosier women. My guests are Billy Dragoo, co-founder of the conference and chief executive officer of RepuCare, and Marie Davis, executive director of the conference. Please join the conversation. Call us at 866-476-3881. You can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about the upcoming Indiana Conference for Women, really about, in a broader sense, what the conference tries to facilitate, which is creating more opportunities for women and giving them a forum in which to discuss some of those challenges and opportunities. If you want to join the conversation, I can't tell you how happy I am to be able to say this, you can call us at 866-476-3881. Our phone line's been down for a while. You also can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are a veteran of the program now, Billy Dragoo. She is co-founder of the Indiana Conference for Women, also co-owner and many other hats, as well as being the chief executive officer of RepuCare, and Marie Davis, who is executive director of the conference. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, John.
I guess technically with Billy, it'd be welcome back. But
yeah. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you both here. So, Billy, I know we've covered this ground in previous conversations, but let's talk about, for people who are just joining this conversation, about what the conference is and how it got started.
The conference got started by myself and the other founder, which is Deborah Collins Stevens. Deborah is a national thought leader across the country, an author of 11 books. And Deborah and I became friends, oh gosh, it's been about 10 years ago, actually 10 years ago, with our anniversary with this conference next year. And not only did she become a good friend, she became a mentor. And I started attending other conferences that she had helped develop in San Francisco, which was the PWC. And we decided that we needed a conference like that in the Midwest, and to bring together experts and authoritative experts in their fields to bring together, you know, thoughts and ideas and build an ecosystem for women in our state. And I think that we've done that now for almost nine and a half years.
Yeah, this is the ninth conference,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, Marie, tell me a little bit about what the focus of this year's conference is going to be.
Well, our theme this year is Brave, Bold, and Brilliant. And because when we look at the women that we see every day, whether they're mentors, mentees, women in business all across our state and the Midwest, that's what we see in women of all ages. And that's what makes this conference special, is that it's for every woman. It's for the CEOs down to the brightest that are graduating from our universities. And we want to stratify across that population so that we can bring together mentors and mentees of the future. So we can experience that day of fellowship both personally and professionally.
What need, Billy, when you started this 9 years ago, were you trying to fill?
I think that if you look at our platform of women in our state and obviously in the Midwest, there was nothing here that could actually provide a platform for not only millennials but C-suite and business owners. And I think with this conference, bringing the experts in that can provide the leadership that we need as women in our country, in our state, and also address some of the issues that are happening almost every year now with women, whether it's pay parity, whether it's the Me Too movement, whether
you're
it's
anticipating future lines
absolutely.
Of discussion.
Yeah.
It's going to we are going to talk about. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh no, that's okay. So I think this conference is designed, and why we did this was because there's nothing like it. I mean, there's a lot of great women conferences in our state right now, but I don't think there's anything on the level that we have been doing with this, providing a platform across for millennials, C-suite, and business owners. And we bring in a lot of major speakers from all over the country and authors. And I think it's good for our state economically. Development, it's, you know, brings in people that have never been to Indiana and never been to our airport. So I think the IEDC and other folks here, the mayor, the governor, really appreciate the fact that we're providing a platform of speakers that can come in that can see this wonderful city.
Marie, that's sort of a cue. Talk to me about who some of the speakers and the logistics of this year's conference. And we'll get into the broader subjects that Billy set up for us, teed up
sure.
for us.
Sure. Well, we'll open the morning with Gretchen Carlson. And then also we will our luncheon keynote will be Dr. Marietta Sirleaf, who most people would know from her network shows Parks and Recreation and now second season of Good Girls. Excuse me. She is a PhD Duke chemist who decided to become a comedian. And she's a genius, a comedic genius. We're excited to laugh with her at lunch. And then we'll close the day with Erin Brockovich. And in between there, we'll have our breakout sessions with four speakers each. And they're all pronounced authors. A new author that's local this year, Joy Fitzgerald, who's the chief diversity officer for Eli Lilly, is launching her book in the fall, The Journey to Joy. So we are thrilled to be able to be the platform for her to launch her book at.
And as you can see with Marie talking from our speakers, we actually mix that with a lot of great women and noted women from our state as well. So we're thrilled to bring all these people together to be able to get to know each other and learn from each other. I met Erin Brockovich last fall in Minnesota, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted to bring her here, not only from hearing her speak about what she's accomplished, but also her speaking about how she developed throughout the years and where she ended up and why she became who she is today. But also, I'm from Franklin, Indiana, and so there's a connection there, I think, with some cancers, and that's what, she has a great foundation, and we talked about that last fall when I met with her, and I know that she is donating money to that cause in Franklin, Indiana.
If you are just joining us, we're talking about the upcoming Indiana Conference for Women today on No Limits. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. So, Marie, how do you go about selecting? I mean, these are some heavyweight names. How do you go about selecting the speakers that you're going to bring in? I imagine the keynotes are the toughest to get hold of, right?
Well, we really enjoy digging into the breakout sessions and looking at who the authors are coming up that we feel be relevant. But yes, when it comes to keynotes, you really do want to pull from a national stage those that can inspire. Ideally, they will have a national presence and or a book that people can really get into and feel a part of prior to and then leaving the conference if they take the book home with them. So choosing is a variety of things. It's what do they bring to the table that differentiates them from the other speakers. Erin was an obvious choice because of her interest here in Indiana, the national stage. And we also feel it's important that many millennials may not know who she is. Mm-hmm. And she has been – she
yeah,
was
how
a thought.
How long has it been since the movie came out?
20-year anniversary.
20.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, I know. That'll age you in a hurry, won't it?
Thanks. Well, I could have gone all day without hearing that, but that's
sorry.
Okay. That's all right.
And I might add to how we choose those speakers, too, is they usually have a book coming out. Mm-hmm. And as you can imagine, this conference for one day starts promptly at 8 o'clock and ends at 4:30 promptly. It costs a lot, hundreds of thousands of dollars to put this conference on. And so when we can find an expert in their field and or a celebrity that has a book coming out that's in our platform of what we developed this conference on, we try to get them. But it's still very costly. And if it wasn't for our thoughtful sponsors like Indiana University has been a constant title sponsor of ours for 9 years now. And without their support and Strata and many other Salesforce, we would not be able to put this conference on. So we're very grateful to our sponsors for that.
Let's talk a little bit about that, the growth there, Billy, because in some ways this started as you and Deborah, right, sitting down and talking it through. But, you know, in prepping for the show, I looked at the website and saw, the board, the advisory councils, all of this apparatus. Could we talk about how it has grown and become much more institutionalized, for lack of a better term?
Well, if you look at our sponsors, I don't think you're going to get academia like Indiana University involved in a conference like this unless it's focused strategic thought leadership. And again, like with Strata, if you look at who our sponsorships are and then why we do this. So, I feel like, don't you think, that the board of directors was formed as an LLC and now it's a 501c3. If you look at who our board of directors are, there's some very noted major leaders of women in our state that are spending their time volunteering on this board and providing a platform of speakers as well that they recommend. So we're excited about our 501c3 board. Lori McRobbie, president of First Lady of Indiana University, is our president. Carol D'Amico is one of our board members. Susanna Suarez, Sue Elzerman, Melina Kennedy. So we have a wonderful group.
We really do. And of diverse backgrounds, too. I think that well represents the women that we're serving and our male allies as well.
How did that board grow? I mean, that's more the story, I think, that I'm trying to get at, because people think, oh, two people talk, they have a good idea, and, all of a sudden this whole thing emerged. That's not the way it works. There are a lot of steps along the way.
Well, it started with a huge amount of thought leaders in our state, men and women, that are advisors on our board. So our 501c3 board of directors was obviously we had developed that for a need, and legally we have to have a board. But we still have that original board of advisors. We have Mickey Maurer. Mm-hmm. We have, Karen Mangia from Salesforce. We have a litany of wonderful women and men on our board, advisory board.
Yeah. As an aside, is there a single good cause anywhere in the city or state that Mickey Maurer is not involved in somewhere?
No, but I will say that he is. He also does in-kind all of our stuff for the IBJ. As with Gary Dick with Inside Indiana, does everything in-kind. So we're very appreciative of all those folks.
Marie, tell me about if people want to attend, are there still seats available and how they go about doing that?
Well, I'm happy to tell you that we're 3/4 of the way sold out.
Okay.
So we do want people to act on it if they would like to attend.
We probably ought to tell them when it is, too.
Yeah,
we haven't done that so far.
November 8th
yes.
of this year at the JW Marriott. And so we want everyone to have the opportunity to attend.
I might add that Election Day is on Tuesday the 6th, and a lot of people are confusing that the Election Day is the same day this year, and including a TV station. It's November 8th, which is a Thursday.
Okay, so people will be recovering from Election Day.
Yes.
Exactly why we have the comedic stylings of Retta at lunch.
Yes.
We think people might need to laugh.
So if they do want to attend, how do they go about doing so?
They can go to our website at www.indianaconferenceforwomen.com, and they can register right there.
And they can also download our mobile app on their phone.
Okay. And how much does it cost to attend?
An individual ticket is $325, and if someone wanted to buy a table, it would be $3,250.
And we haven't raised our prices in 9 years
okay,
on those
so
ticket prices.
It's the same. And for that, it's an all-day event, as you said, from
correct.
8 to 4:30. That involves all three of the keynotes, right?
Breakfast and lunch.
Breakfast and lunch, okay. And how many breakout sessions again?
There are 8 breakout sessions. But there are 2 segments, so they would have 4 to choose from and select one per of the 2 breakout sessions.
That probably is a question I should have asked you. It's probably something that's easier to explain with visual aids than it is doing it verbally. But it sounds like basically you've got the three keynotes, and then four other sessions you can participate in.
Two other sessions.
Yeah.
But you have four choices for each session.
Each of the sessions.
Correct.
Okay. And it's 300. Yeah, go ahead, Billy.
I want to add to kind of give a shout out to Marie Davis, is our new executive director this year, and thrilled that she joined us. She has a lot of experience in the space and very well known in our community. So I want to say on behalf of Deborah and I, we really appreciate her accepting this position.
We are talking about the Indiana Conference for Women today on No Limits. My guests are Billy Dragoo, who is co-founder of the conference and chief executive officer of RepuCare, and Marie Davis, executive director of the conference. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about the upcoming annual Indiana Conference for Women. We're going to use that as a springboard, really, though, to talk about challenges and opportunities confronting women here in Indiana. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Billy Dragoo. She is, among many other hats she wears, co-founder of the conference and chief executive officer of RepuCare, and Marie Davis, who is executive director of the conference. Okay, I want to talk just a little more specifically about the conference itself. There are, in addition to all of these great sort of information sharing, instructional pieces, the conference also is designed to celebrate achievement by special women in Indiana history. You're going to do that again this year, right?
Absolutely. Our honorum this year is Eva Kaur. I'm sure a lot of people in the city and state and country know about her. I know Marie is thrilled to be able to announce that all over our social media. You want to talk a little bit about her?
Yeah, I would love to. You can't say the words brave, bold, and brilliant and not choose someone that personifies that for decades. And especially in a world where there can be contention, her message of forgiveness through the horrors that she and her sister and her family suffered during the Holocaust, and her investment in the community to make sure that story is told now to educate children who may not know much about the Holocaust through not just her books and, of course, her movie, which will be coming out this fall, but also this new kit that she has that's going out into schools that they will be able to purchase to really teach not just about the Holocaust, but what do you do when something horrible happens to you, and what do you put into the world that makes it a better place? And so we're extraordinarily grateful that she has accepted our dedication.
She's excited about being
here.
She's
very excited, very excited.
Well, and the other thing to mention, some of the past honorums on this conference have been the suffragettes of Indiana, our past four lieutenant governors, Eleanor Ostrom, and also Madam C.J. Walker. So we've had some extraordinary, very honorable women that we're able to be able to celebrate every year with this conference. So thrilled to have Eva this year.
Yeah, Eva and Ted Green, who's the filmmaker of the documentary, have been guests on this show when they premiered the documentary. I think it was at Butler back in the spring. It's going to start airing this fall, but she is remarkable. It's amazing that I don't think I'm giving anything away. She is not what you would call a tall woman. So
no.
You're kind of amazed so much personal force can be contained in such a small package. So it sounds like you've got a packed conference. I'd like to talk a little bit about the moment that the conference is occurring, and we alluded to this, the fact, and I think, you know, when Billy and Deborah and I had this conversation last year, It was right kind of at the point where the Me Too movement was taking off and exploding. And we have seen the ways in which it has, you know, there are very few corners of American life and really Western culture life now that it has not touched. I guess as a way of setting this up, I want to talk about maybe some of the things that it has changed and some of the things that we feel that the people need to be talking about now and working through. I've been picking on Billy an awful lot, so I'll start with Marie on that one first.
Well, with all the issues that women and their male allies face on a daily basis, with all the issues that children, grown-ups, families face on an ongoing basis, this year we felt it was particularly important to establish a statement of principles so that we could set the stage mm-hmm. for what we want the conversation to hold for everyone that wants to be a part of the conference and for women across the state. We support equity of opportunity and the advancement of women, and we are completely bipartisan. And we're a neutral platform so that people can get information and share their ideas. And we believe in civility and respect for the opinions of all people. And we want to catalyze nurturing connections that move people forward, regardless of their ideas and how they vote and what their personal stands may be. We want everyone to feel welcome to share those ideas within the confines of our conference and afterwards.
How important is that conversation to have, Billy, right now?
I think it's very important on many different levels. You know, as a country, you know, we represent, 52% women do today. And also, we have to be mindful of how we act, what we say, what we do on a daily, hourly, every level of how we interact with people going forward and today in the past. But what I want people to understand is that, you know, it's a very important movement. There's a lot of things coming out of it, as we know, every day. But be mindful of the fact that we need to make sure that our male counterparts are also still included in everything that we do, because we still glean and get a lot of great things from our male counterparts as a woman. I do as a woman. I have two men mentors. But so we have to have a balance, I think, mm-hmm. of the Me Too movement from a standpoint of not to be so standoffish with men and or they with us at this point, to make sure that there's a balance there somewhere, because it's going to continue to escalate, I feel. And I think, again, it's needed on a lot of different levels. But I think we have to be very mindful of everyone that is involved in this kind of a movement and making sure that everything is expert and the opinions are and the accusations are leveled in a way that's legal. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I mean,
absolutely.
I think I feel so bad for all the women that this has been caught up with. But I also want to make sure that we're careful about, you know, we're careful about the men as well.
Well,
there's a big conversation about that with even groups like Deborah Daniels. She's had several articles about this in the IBJ.
Well, and I guess we're in some ways, and I don't want to take us too far because I actually do have a line of questioning I want to pursue here. But something you said there is whether the law always is the best means for dealing with this. I mean, you know, technically, I may get the ages wrong since it's been a little while since I've studied this. I think in Indiana, it is illegal for a 16-year-old high school boy to have sex with his 14-year-old girlfriend. And that can carry some very severe penalties with it. Possible lifetime of being on the sex offender registry. On the other hand, it is perfectly legal for a 65-year-old man to have sex with a 17 or 18-year-old girl. I know which I consider much more morally dubious, and which, but the law obviously doesn't make those distinctions. Is this something that as a society, we need to start saying, okay, some of this stuff is just beyond the pale. Whether it's against the law or not, it's not right. Maria, yeah. Since you started to respond.
Well, I think I can speak as a friend and a colleague, as a sister, as a mother, mm-hmm. and what the conversations are that I have outside of what is statutory. Mm-hmm. There is a larger conversation about what should you do, what can you do, and how can you best protect yourself without compromising your personal goals in your mm-hmm. career, and realizing that you always, always are have control of your personal space. That is your right. And so I think the larger conversation happens outside of any state house, or mm-hmm. It happens one-on-one with women who are transparent with each other about their own struggles and share how they moved forward, whether it was complicated or easy, and so that we all have perspective on what it really means to own your own space. Mm-hmm. And to deal with the hard things if you have that put in front of you, which we've found out in over the past year how many women that actually is. And I think that is the positive catalyst, is that it's not swept under the rug.
Right. And I think that you're seeing this big movement today because it's snowballed from, you know, women tend to stand, you know, lay back and not say anything when these things happen to them. And so when they see one of their colleagues or one of their sisters or one of their friends speak up, it gives them, I think, the courage to continue that conversation and speak up as well. But, yeah, I think this is why it's been snowballing in the last several years, and mm-hmm. rightfully so.
Well, and I want to part of it, and I'm not going to go down that. I think the thing that that intrigues me about this movement, why I think it is kind of a seminal moment in our history, is, you know, while most of the attention is sort of focused on the sexual politics of it, it seems to me that it has grown beyond that. That it's touching on the other issues Billy mentioned in the last segment. I mean, you know, parity. Of pay, really what we are seeing now is an assertion of, you know,
women advancing.
Well, and also women saying, sorry, we're not supplements. We're human beings. We have all of the rights and have all of the expectations that every other human being ought to have. And I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, the fact that there has been some pushback to that, how we work through it, but also how it's likely to change the way we end up, you know, living and doing business. Billy, I'll start with you since I picked on Marie the last time.
Well, I agree with you, John. I think that as a woman, we have to be very thoughtful about our conversations with folks, how we bring up these subjects and the subject matter. We somewhat need to be some experts in it and do research from a standpoint of what's happened in the past and what's bringing forward and what's going to be happening in the future. But I think it's time. The time is now. And I think these things have, like you said, pay parity, access to capital for women, women on boards. There's just a litany of things that I think that women are not really angry about, but just saying, why not me?
And I'll say it so you don't have to. You've had to pay tribute to lieutenant governors, but not yet female governors.
Exactly. And so, you know, I think it's the time is now, and for many reasons. And so, you know, I think that you're going to continue to see these issues continue. I also, again, going to bring in the male side of it. You know, I was with a male business person not too long ago, and I had a meeting. It was just one-on-one in an office, and he was very careful about us. And then he would apologize if he touched my hand or if he was making a point on something that he wanted to show me. It was like he was apologizing for everything he said or did. And I thought, this is just way too much. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, we have to make our male folks that are our friends feel more comfortable and not threatened. And I'm not sure how we can continue to rise as women and ask for these things that need to happen and these changes that need to happen, and at the same time make sure that our male counterparts are comfortable too. I mean, what do you think, Maria? I mean, we all experienced this, and I mean, I'm sure you've thought about it, John.
I would say there, though, is you know, I may be going stepping out of role as host, and we're just talking now, but there aren't. I can't think of too many contexts in which, you know, I would touch someone unless it was pretty darn clear, male or female, that said touch or said physical contact was going to be welcome. These really aren't things that are that hard to read.
True.
Well, and we, you know, Billy brought up that, you know, 50% of the women, you know, give or take a few percentage points, are make up the electorate, but less than 20%, or give or take a percentage point, actually serve.
Sure.
And so at some point you do have to look that statutorily we may be at a disadvantage for making the changes that we would like to when it comes to pay and some of those other things until we move that mark a little bit. And so one of the other conversations we very often have is, you know, how do we get women to serve? We are very fortunate in the state that we have 5 of the 7 statewide office holders are women, strong women, positive women. But as you said, we still haven't had a female governor. So,
well, I'm going to take it a step further with business. You know, I own a company. So from a standpoint of things that have happened in the last 50 years, we're still talking about them. For example, access to capital, pay parity, you know, women on boards. So we've been talking about this forever. Mm-hmm. I am on advisory board for the SBA out of D.C., and one of the continual thing is we can't get women to 5% of contracts. Well, why are we still talking about it? You know, why do we have to talk about it year after year after year and nothing changes? So I think that's what you're seeing bubbling up now, all this frustration from a lot of different levels.
I do want to pick up on that. If you are just joining us, we're talking about the upcoming Indiana Conference for Women. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. So we are still talking about this. One of the things I think that is difficult about change like this, and maybe the assertion that that's why this movement is so great, we did a, or has been so powerful, is that we did a show several years ago in which Becky Skillman was one of the guests.
I love her. Right.
And she made the point that that there is a sort of internal lowering kind of expectations or whatever. She said most women, when they see a position that's advertised and it lists 10 things, 10 qualities that the successful applicant or the ideal applicant would have, if they don't have all 10, they think, okay, I shouldn't apply. The former lieutenant governor said, unfortunately, many men will look at it and think, okay, if I've got one of them, I've got a shot.
Exactly.
You know, and I'll go after that. But what, you know, that anecdote can be read two ways. One is, you know, the sort of braggadocio of some male behavior. But the other part of it is women stifling their own ambitions and stifling their own dreams. Marie, you're nodding.
Well, actually, you know, our luncheon keynote, Retta, she speaks to that in her book. Mm-hmm. And I think it will rest very, very well with many women. The opportunities she passed up that were extraordinarily, that could have won her an Oscar because she doubted herself. Yes, more than one. And she's very transparent about that exact thing, that she talked herself out of why she was qualified, even though clearly she was.
Well, I think men are more comfortable stepping out of their comfort zone, where women are more risk averse. And so mm-hmm. if they don't have those 10 things that you were talking about, they're going to be, you know, more shy and more emotional about it, I think, from a standpoint of just trying to do and make sure that everything's just right. And I think that's all those attributes are great with women, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about the upcoming annual Indiana Conference for Women today on No Limits. My guests are Billy Dragoo, who is, among her many other roles, co-founder of the conference and chief executive officer of RepuCare, and Marie Davis, executive director of the conference. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 866 476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about the upcoming annual Indiana Conference for Women. We're using that as a springboard to talk about really the ever-changing landscape confronting not just women but men here in Indiana and around the country and around the world. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 866-476-3881. You can email nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Billy Dragoo, who is co-founder of the conference and chief executive officer of RepuCare, and Marie Davis, executive director of the conference. We've gotten an email from our regular listener, Kenny, and again, our email address is nolimits@wfyi.org. Kenny writes, as long as there remains a group of men who successfully deny these women on No Limits, along with every other woman, what they can and cannot do about their most fundamental human right to reproductive health care, women's equality remains off balance. Yes, conferences about jobs, opportunity, and history are important, but Indiana is a frontline state denying women their unequivocal right to bodily sovereignty. So it seems that this should be asserted as the direct avenue to women obtaining respect, not just great women in history. Marie, care to respond?
Well, I think Kenny hits the points we've already made, that that change is made by people that show up. And so I think when people have strong opinions one way or the other about anything related to an issue that they're passionate about, that it's important to make your voice known, to make your vote count in the way that you feel led. And so we do have those personal conversations about exactly what he's talking about among the women in our conference, in our interpersonal relationship. It inevitably is discussed, and everyone doesn't always agree. So that's why our forum is so important, because everyone can come to the table as equals to talk about that exact thing without fear of being excluded from the conversation.
Everybody has an opinion.
Yeah, everyone has an opinion.
And it should be respected.
Absolutely.
Whether they agree with it or not.
Mm-hmm. Is there, I mean, and I want to take Kenny's question. I know there is there are two schools, at least two schools of thought on this. One is obviously that, you know, women cannot be a full force in politics, in business, in all sorts of things, unless they can control their own bodies and their own reproductive choices in the way that men can, frankly. The other school of thought takes it from the opposite end, that the way that they will be able to control these things is by becoming far more effective participants in the business, political, and cultural workings of the culture in which they are in. I realize that's a little bit of a chicken and egg question there, which came first, but it probably is something that's worth a little bit of discussion. Billy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big subject.
It is. There's a reason the show is called No Limits.
Well, I could speak to it, I think all of us have been at cocktail parties with good friends, whether it's, you know, six people around a table or a larger venue where this subject matter comes up. And depending on who you're speaking with, it is chicken and egg, even if it's all women.
Exactly, yeah.
And so
so they're just like other human beings, basically.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And everyone has very high-minded ideas about how we fix it, whatever their bent is on that issue or how they believe we should go about it. I was always raised that the exchange of ideas is the way you move forward. Mm-hmm. But it has to be an open exchange. It has to be transparent. And you have to pull your own personal feelings aside to give the other person the respect to actually hear what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we lead with our feelings rather than listen with our hearts.
What's the best for the masses? Exactly.
Absolutely. And because we all come to the table from a different background. And from a different environment growing up and from different political bents. And so, again, that's why, honestly, this conference is an embarrassment of riches, both for Billy, Deborah, the board of directors, the advisory panel, and for myself. To say that I do this as a job is almost laughable to me, because it is such a rich gift to have these conversations free-flowing about this and many other issues on a daily basis, and have no one fear that their ideas will be dismissed. I think it's exactly what we need right now in our political environment and in the place we are in our social conversations.
And I agree with everything that you said. And to add to that is, we have to be very thoughtful and professional about how we, as representatives of this conference, what we try to do and how we bring these to the table. But it should be even on smaller scales. If you're with five people or 5,000 people, I think that you have to respect the other person's opinions and in a thoughtful, professional manner, and be able to arrive at something that is going to be amenable to the masses, mm-hmm. so to speak. So what is the best for our country, for our city, or our state? So it's a big question. It's a big, big question. Chicken or the egg?
Yeah, it really is.
We are talking about the upcoming Indiana Conference for Women, but we're also talking about the changing landscape confronting not just women but men in this world today. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named George has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. George, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I have two statements that I'd like your panel to comment on. One is many of my women friends have talked about the limitations put on women's access to power by the Pence rule, where he will not meet with women individually.
Also known as the Billy Graham rule. But
yeah, also the Billy Graham rule. The other thing is, in terms of women businesses, my wife and I have a women's owned business, and the documentation is so cumbersome, and it is proved fairly fruitless that we will be, my wife has made the decision to just become an LLC like we are and not actually go through the cumbersome nature of being a women's owned business, as she's the primary owner of the business.
Thanks very much for the call, George. We'll try to get some responses for you.
Well, I'll take the latter side of that as a women business owner. It is very cumbersome, and I agree with you and your wife that it's not fair that I think that we have to produce all this documentation. I mean, I have to give away my firstborn kid's Social Security numbers in order to get a certification in this state. And also, I'm certified in almost 30 other states. So you have to give up tax returns. And, I mean, I feel your pain from that standpoint as a business owner. But the laws are the laws, and we can't attain that certification without those documents. So agree, things need to be changed on that area. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people are working on it, like in D.C. and on a state level here with the IDOA and the commission that rules what we do with these women-owned businesses and minority-owned businesses.
Marie, the let's not forget the first part of mm-hmm. this thing, the Mike Pence, Billy Graham rule. Does that inhibit, the sort of advancement? I mean,
I think it's a personal choice as to how he wants to manage the way he goes about business. And while I understand what is behind that, I also would have a concern that it might be perceived as exclusionary. Although we don't necessarily know those things. So I wouldn't jump to judgment necessarily, because that is that person's personal rule of how they want to manage their office. I would make that known to that individual that you have a concern.
I think that it's just become more familiar lately because of the pundits on the late night TV shows are obviously have been making fun of it. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I think that it's just a conversation. I respect the fact that Pence has that rule, and it's not for everybody. So I think, again, we're going back into personal issues, like Marie stated, that we really can't, it's not in our best interest to comment on those from a standpoint of what's right and what's wrong.
Well, to be fair to George, I think he's trying to talk more about the effect rather than morality. Billy, you pointed out that you've had several male mentors.
Oh, absolutely.
Along the way, you know, those are relationships that have absolutely nothing to do with courtship or anything.
No.
Anything like that. But if you can't meet alone or discuss things alone or with a certain amount of trust and confidence in each other, it's a little hard to do that, right?
Right. And that goes back to what I originally said in the beginning of this conversation, radio show, is the fact that we have to be very careful how we treat our male counterparts.
Yeah.
And very guarded, not from a standpoint of not being interactive with them, but to make sure that we are inclusive and that we, you know, we do the right thing by that, and that there are people that need to be put in their place. I agree with that. But there is a whole group of wonderful men out there that become mentors and they're friends. And so I just think there's a fine balance now that we're walking with all of this that we have to be careful about and make sure that they're included and not afraid to be able to be along with us in a business conference room or, you know, in a car or on a conversation.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about the upcoming Indiana Conference for Women. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Sharon has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Sharon, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I'm calling because I just tuned in recently, and I was really happy to hear about the topics and that information about women thinking they have to have all of the requirements for jobs or scholarships or whatever it may be. And I have a granddaughter who is a senior in high school. And my hope is that young girls her age can attend this conference, because this is a, you know, a big time in their lives as they're getting ready to go to college and start new careers. And I would love for them to have the motivation and the inspiration to go for it, you know, to go for things and to not hold back and not be afraid. And I'm a retired guidance counselor, and I've seen brilliant girls doing this very thing of sort of stepping back and letting, you know, the male students who are also brilliant and their friends, but letting them take the lead. So that's part of why I'm calling. I want to find out, can the high school senior girls, are they eligible to attend this?
Yeah, let me get that to Billy very quickly. Thank you very much for the call, Sharon.
Hi, Billy.
Hello, how are you? We do. We have. You would be amazed at the students that attend this conference. I mean, I think Warsaw School sends down 2 or 3 busloads. But we bring in people from all over the state and actually the bordering states of Indiana. So and so we do have special student rates for that as well. So you would be surprised at the
What are the student rates?
The student rates, they're $200 for a student, and that inventory is limited. So if she's interested, she should definitely go onto the website today or in the next week or so.
And we had a question from a listener who did not want to go on the air about the cost of the conference, made the argument that that many of the women who might need this help the most, you know, and would benefit from this, can't afford the $325. Are there scholarships available for people based on need?
Well, for this year anyway, the scholarships are full. We do, you know, on a petition basis, allow for scholarships. Certainly, as the conference grows and we have the benefactors of more sponsors, obviously when we can expand that number. But the other opportunity that there is at the conference that is utilized by so many, and we do have testimonials, is the volunteer opportunity, that you can come and volunteer for the day, work a specific function, and then enjoy the conference for the rest of the day by volunteering just a short amount of your time.
We have 80 volunteers almost every year, and they get to interact and mix and mingle, and they can be an liaison to some of our speakers. Mm-hmm. To go back to the lady that called in earlier, I will tell you that the case studies that it's been life-changing for a lot of women. We get notes and statements from these women ongoing that the gift of this conference has been life-changing to their to their worlds, mm-hmm. so to speak.
And we actually have one participant. She volunteered last year with her daughter, mm-hmm. and then her daughter actually got an internship with one of our speakers in Europe.
In Europe, yeah. We have amazing stories and case studies that come out of this conference that we need to start talking about that. And we're not, and I think we're putting a little book together next year for this.
Yeah, the 10th anniversary is coming up next year. We will have you back for that, I promise.
And we also have the opportunity this year at the conference for women to tell us their stories about what the conference has meant to them, either that day or for as many years as they've attended. So we'll be able to capture those the day of and share them.
I also want to mention before the show is over that we have two wonderful co-chairs, that one of them is on our board, Sue Elzerman, president of Ivy Tech and our past lieutenant governor.
Show before, yeah.
Yeah, and also Joyce Rogers, a VP with the Alumni Foundation at IU, and very big supporter of our conference. So we're thrilled with our two co-chairs this year.
I want to try to synthesize two email questions we've gotten from listeners named Julie and Mary, and they're really about the inclusiveness of the conference. One of them asks if there are what the participation level is for women who are, for lack of a better term, blue collar, and other what the participation is among women of color.
Well, actually, it changes from year to year. Based on many times companies will buy tables, and so we don't always get to capture the demographics of those women. Thus why we are having this storytelling opportunity this year, because we want them to share their stories. Demographically, it skews. We have every color of the rainbow, mm-hmm. But we and every age. We really stratify, you know, millennials up to 65. Everyone is. It's a great, if you look at the pie chart, it changes year to year, which is great. It shows interest levels, but diversity over time. And so I can't tell you that as an absolute, but I can tell you that when you go there, you'll see a lot of other people that look just like you and don't look just like you.
Absolutely, and we're very inclusive of all. So mm-hmm. anyone is welcome to come to this conference.
Okay, we're getting close on time here, so we probably ought to deal with the logistics one more time. If people want to attend, there still are some seats available,
yes.
right? Where do they go to do that, to reserve their spot?
To our website at www.indianaconferenceforwomen.com.
Or our mobile app that you can download on your iPhone.
And the cost is?
$325 for an individual, and a table of 10 is $3,250.
And it is on November 8th. That is 2 days after Election Day. At the JW Marriott. So it's right downtown. That will have to be the last word. I'd like to thank my guest, Billy Dragoo, co-founder of the Indiana Conference for Women and Chief Executive Officer of RepuCare, and Marie Davis, Executive Director for the conference, for what has been a lively conversation. I'm John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producers, Sarah Neal Estes, Roxana Caldwell, and Jill Sheridan. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. Emily Matheny screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting station. We'll be right back.